Good evening and welcome to our first Advent service here this 2017 year. We are glad for this time of year. It's always an exciting time, and I think too, just as we spend this time in preparation for Christmas too, in anticipation, and we talked about that if you were here a little bit last Sunday, and what that means, what that anticipation actually means, that we are waiting and excited for the coming of Christ, and not only as we get ready for Christmas, but as we look ahead and see that this is our time of preparation for when Christ comes back for us, and how excited we are for that time and the glorious day that will be when Christ comes, not as a baby born in Bethlehem, but as the triumphant King that He is for eternity. And so with that in mind, I want to officially welcome you to our service and open this time up. There aren't too many announcements here, but I just want to share a few. You can see the upcoming schedule here in the next week for us. There is Sunday school for the adults on Sunday, and then the Sunday school Christmas program is also going to be on Sunday morning, and so please come out for that. It's a good way to invite any neighbors or friends if you think that would be a good and appropriate time for them. It's a wonderful service, and so we're excited for that and for all the work that has been put into that also. There is a dinner. The men are serving that after the service, and so plan to stick around for that as well if you are able. And then next Wednesday, we will have our second Advent service. Tonight, as you walked in, you maybe saw some of the decorations getting put together because of the blizzard, our first 2018 blizzard this year. We had to postpone, unfortunately, the baby shower for Elias, who is in attendance tonight too. Glad to see him here. He didn't come, you guys dragged him here, didn't you? You made him come. Cried the whole way. Yeah, I believe it. But anyway, so we were sad that we weren't able to have that shower on Monday. It was the second time it was postponed. But we're gonna do it tonight because we're here. And so feel free to stick around. Is it okay for me to invite anybody? Yes. Okay. So if you want cake, even if you are a man, since men don't usually go to the showers, you can still have a piece of cake. Yes. Okay. Good. And so do that. Stick around for that. Feel free to leave if you need to as well. And just enjoy some time of fellowship there too. And if you really want, you can stick around and watch. Probably not Elias open his gifts. Okay, we'll let mom and dad take care of that. We're excited for that too. So that's what's going on after the service. I don't think there are any other pressing announcements. Be in prayer for the youth who are out gallivanting around delivering flowers right now. So keep them in prayer too. We're thankful for that ministry. And then we're thankful to have our kids club kids here with us for a little bit tonight as well. All right, let's open with a word of prayer here as we begin. Father in heaven, thanks for tonight and thanks for this very special season of Advent and preparation for your coming. We thank you that you did come. That beautiful, quiet night in Bethlehem, Lord, that you came to save. What a joy that is. How thankful and grateful we are to you for your work to be born as a man, to live, to die, to defeat death and rise again so that we might live in heaven with you forever. Thank you for that, dear Jesus. Bless this service now and our time together. In your name I pray, amen. Usually what I like to do for these evening services here during Advent is have a little bit of a time of singspiration, singing some Christmas carols, and so let's do that. Let's start by... We have a few scripture readings for us tonight. The first one comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, reading verses 17 through 25. I would ask that while I read these, if you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1, reading verses 17 through 25. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. And then let's read together a responsive reading in our hymnals. It's on page 144 of your hymnals, so you can turn there with me. Page 144 there at the beginning of your hymnal, Psalm 61, verses 1 through 6. Good news to the desolate. And if you start to hear some themes coming here, the last verse of 1 Peter, that this word that remains forever is the good news that was preached to you. The good news to the desolate is what we are about to read, and then we are going to talk quite extensively in a few minutes here during the sermon about the good news that the angel Gabriel brought to Zechariah. So let's read these verses responsively in Isaiah 61 on page 144. I will begin. If you guys want to please respond by reading the words that are in bold. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. Amen. Here ends our reading. You may be seated. We are going to take an offering at this time, and call on Claire Olson at this time to share a special message and song with us. Thank you for that, Claire, very much. It was a holy night indeed. We're going to talk tonight a little bit about what made that night so holy. And so that was a very fitting introduction into what we're going to look at here this evening. Our time tonight is going to be spent meditating largely on verse 19 of Luke chapter 1 and its immediate context back to verse 18. Also, but I thought I would read just a larger portion of Luke 1 for us and the encounter of the angel Gabriel with Zechariah as we begin, just so that our minds and our hearts are more familiar with what's going on around this verse 19. And so as I read, please stand with me again if you would, if you are able, as I read Luke 1, and I'm going to start at verse 8. And read through to verse 23. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when the time of his service was ended, he went to his home. Here ends our reading. These are your words, Father in heaven. Tonight I'm grateful to you for these words and for your word. And for the good news that your word delivers to us. I'm thankful for the good news that you sent the angel Gabriel to deliver to Zechariah on this day so many years ago. And I'm grateful to you for the good news that it gives us this evening. So I pray that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear what you have for us in your word and the good news you have here for us, God. I pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would bring us to repentance and to faith in you, the one who was God, who became man. The man who was God, the God who was man. What a miracle that was and is. Thank you, O Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Christmas is such a beautiful time. The season celebrates the miracle of the birth of Christ. Oftentimes, we think of the miracle of Christ's birth through the lens of the virgin birth, which certainly was a miracle, but it's important also when we talk about the miracle and the beautiful miracle of this time of year, to remember the profound impossibility of the Word becoming flesh, God becoming man, immortality taking on mortality. Christians have a unique perspective in the world. We see and hear and touch and smell and taste all that is around us. We know the world in which we live. We also believe that there is another world, another kingdom. As Christians, we believe we are citizens of both. Author and pastor Philip Yancey describes it this way. He says, "One universe consists of glass and steel and wool clothes and leather briefcases and the smell of freshly ground coffee. The other consists of angels and sinister spiritual forces, and somewhere out there, places called heaven and hell. We palpably inhabit this material world. It takes faith to consider oneself a citizen of the other invisible world. Every now and then, we get glimpses into these two kingdoms coming together. Remember that we pray for that. Thy kingdom come. Every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, God, may your kingdom come among us. In the devotional where I got that quote from Yancey, where he distinguishes these two kingdoms that we are citizens of, the one that we very tangibly know and the one that is very much by faith, he uses the examples of tropical fish and forgiveness when he sees God's kingdom coming, okay? Now, those examples personally resonate with me. I've gone snorkeling once in my life. Some of you maybe have done this too. We took a family vacation to Hawaii several years ago. Once I figured out how to breathe with that contraption, it was one of the most quiet and peaceful and beautiful times in my life. I'll never forget that. Anyone can be struck by the beauty of the created world, but Christians see that. And in that case, the underwater beauty of warm Pacific waters and the fish and the coral and all that kind of stuff. When we see stuff like that, we glorify and praise the God who made such natural beauty, right? We see that it's not just something really special. We see the work of our Creator in it. Yancey mentioned a time when his wife forgave him for something he didn't think he deserved to be forgiven for. Forgiveness, to me, blows me away. The forgiveness of the world attaches strings, doesn't it? That's not God's forgiveness. The forgiveness of God in heaven is filled with his grace that forgives in such a way that doesn't add clauses or stipulations or prerequisites like, I'll forgive you if. God's unmerited forgiveness toward us and practiced amongst one another gives us a picture into heavenly perfection. And so we see these two kingdoms meeting from time to time. We catch glimpses of that. And the beauty and the perfection of eternity coming into this ugly and dying world is a miracle also of Christmas. Yancey says that in Bethlehem, the two worlds came together. What Jesus went on to accomplish on planet Earth made it possible for God someday to resolve all disharmonies in both worlds. He says that the choir of angels breaking out into spontaneous song. That's our Christmas Eve sermon this year, by the way. It shook the entire universe, it says, when God became man. Luke 1:19 talks about this miracle. The angel comes to Zechariah and announces himself as Gabriel. And look at what he says. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you. That is a beautiful and a miraculous and a loaded sentence. Gabriel is one of two angels mentioned by name in the Bible, and here he identifies himself as one who stands in the presence of God. Now, the primary qualification to stand in God's presence is holiness, perfection, sinlessness. This is our chief problem as human beings. We aren't holy or perfect or sinless. This is what the psalmist is referring to in Psalm 130. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? And the implied answer is that there is nobody who could stand before God because everyone is sinful. Everyone has iniquity. In our sin, we cannot stand before the holy God and live. That holiness cannot be found in this world. This world cannot muster that holiness. And Gabriel declares here that he came from that holy presence, from that perfection, and that makes him holy. It places him in that other kingdom, that other realm, the realm of perfect peace and joy and life, the realm of God's physical presence. And here is Gabriel entering into this world. It's a miracle. It's a glimpse into the future hope of restoration when God comes again to make everything new and perfect. Now, the other part of the value of Gabriel's self-identification has to do with the context from the verse before. In verse 18, Zechariah had asked him how he can know that what Gabriel was saying was true. How do we know that what God says is true? Gabriel bases his defense here on where his words come from. They come from God's presence. He says, "I've been in God's presence. He sent me to speak to you." So if God's presence is holiness and righteousness and perfection, then what is said there is holy and perfect and right. And this is that holy and perfect word being sent now to this world, and in this case particularly to Zechariah. Zechariah, you can know that this is true because it comes from the very presence of God. It comes from God himself. That's the only place where we can know something is true, because it comes from the heavenly realm. Anything not from there, anything from here, is tainted by doubt because of the possibility of imperfection. People lie, people forget, people misunderstand, on and on. What makes Gabriel's words to Zechariah true is that they come from God himself and his presence. And this then becomes a beautiful example for us of how God deals with us. How does God deal with us? How does he communicate with us? He gives us his creation. We see his creativity everywhere, from the tropical fish to all the snowflakes sitting on the ground piled up outside. Beautiful things like that remind us of him and who he is and what he does, but that's not primarily how he communicates. That's not how he deals with us. And I don't mean I'm going to give you an example, and I don't mean to pick on anybody in particular or on any person or people. I've just heard this said so many times for so many years. Statements that go something like this: I know God was speaking to me because I got goosebumps. Okay? Now, goosebumps can be a sign of a emotional reaction or a response, and those emotions don't have to be bad. Oftentimes, they're good. But sometimes I get goosebumps because I'm cold. In all seriousness, goosebumps are simply one of the many things in this world that are, by the way, good. When we are cold or wet, for example, they help us to dry and warm, and that's healthy, but still of this world, and especially ultimately, not to be trusted when discerning whether what you heard was good and right. Gabriel's words here instruct Zechariah and us that God deals with us, he communicates with us, through his word. Period. And there are so many other examples of that. I know that God spoke to me because. And if the answer is anything other than his word, watch out. Because God deals with us in his word. And anything outside of that is prone to mistake, prone to deception from the devil, quite frankly. God deals with us. He communicates with us in his word and in sacrament. In sacrament only because it is the vehicle, they are the vehicles through which his word comes to us. God communicates with us through his word. We know that what we hear is good when it comes from God's word. If a word is attributed to God outside of scripture, one writer says it's of the devil. We know this is truth because God says it, and we leave it at that. And that's enough. It's sufficient. And friends, I want to tell you tonight that that's okay that it's that way. Not only because he is perfect and holy and right, but because the word, this word, it's good news. It brings good news. It delivers it to us. And that's what Gabriel says here. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. This good news here speaks of a miracle. In verse 18, when Zechariah was questioning Gabriel, how do I know that what you're saying is true? Do you remember what Gabriel was telling him? He was telling him about the son that he and his wife Elizabeth were about to conceive. Their son's name would be John, the baptizer, who Gabriel says will turn many to the Lord. He will go in the spirit and power of Elijah to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Zechariah wasn't sure whether he could believe this. Not only were he and Elizabeth advanced in years, as the rest of verse 18 says, but even back to verse 7, we didn't read that. It says that Elizabeth was barren, so they had no children. It wasn't that they had other kids and were just now old. In itself would have been a miracle, but they were never able to have children. They lived their entire lives bearing the weight of that disappointment and hurt for them, a consequence of the brokenness of this world. Especially back then, culturally, to be without children was a mark of what they felt was sin and or guilt, and that manifested itself oftentimes in these families because they were without child. We know that Elizabeth felt some of that. If you look just past what I read in verse 25, let's see if I can find it here for you. Listen to what Elizabeth says. Thus, when the Lord had done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people. Zechariah and Elizabeth were hurting, not just at this moment, but for the bulk of their lifetimes. And this angel now, in the later chapters of their life, comes from the presence of God into this broken world and into this hurting family. And he declares God's word of good news that there will be life where there previously was only barrenness. It's true. It's too good to be true. I'd ask Gabriel the same question. How can I know this? How do I know that you're telling me the truth? Gabriel says, because I'm delivering this message from the God who speaks truth perfectly. The God who speaks good news. The Greek word, and we're going to do a little word study here. The Greek word there for good news that Gabriel uses is euangelion, okay? You can say that. You don't have to do it out loud, but you can practice it if you want in your heads. Euangelion. It means to bring good news, to announce glad tidings. It has the same root word as the Greek word angelos, the word for angel. An angel is a messenger, a bringer, an announcer of a message. And that's what Gabriel is doing here. He is a messenger delivering good news. Did you know that euangelion, bringing good news, is where we get our word evangelism? Evangelism, friends, is nothing more than euangelion, delivering good news. Another word for good news is the gospel. In Mark's account of Christ's ascension into heaven and the Great Commission, we read Jesus say, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Can you guess what the Greek word is there for gospel? Euangelion, good news. We are commissioned to go out into all the world and proclaim good news. That's what we are as Christians. We are evangelists. We are good newsers. We bring good news to people. Isn't that kind of fun? Specifically, that good news is the announcement, the proclamation of life where there was previously only death. Think about that. Not only how that relates to Elizabeth and Zechariah, but as it will relate to Jesus himself, miraculous life coming from a virgin birth, but then finally and ultimately, when Jesus would bring life to a place, namely the tomb, that only knew death. That's the good news here, friends. We have a God who comes into this world stained by death, a world that knows only death, and he brings life, eternal life. That is what Gabriel gave to Zechariah. We're going to spend more time on different aspects of this in the next few weeks when Gabriel goes to Mary and speaks news, good news from God to her. Specifically, we'll focus on his words, to fear not, do not be afraid. And then his statement that nothing will be impossible with God. And all three of these then leading into the angel's song. On the night Jesus was born, fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy. What was that good news? What was that message? Unto you is born this night a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The most beautiful birth announcement ever. No offense to Elias tonight. The angels that night declared, proclaimed, announced life where there was previously only death. This was not just any birth, and I'm not just talking about it being a virgin birth. This was when the perfect God came into an imperfect world and took on its flesh and brought the goodness of heaven into this earth, brought life into this world of death, and made a way for you to go from this world of death into an eternity of life. Friends, that's good news. That's the message we have. It's the message we proclaim to all who will hear. That's why I kind of themed these messages this Advent as sermons, okay? The first Advent sermons, and then on Christmas Eve, it'll be the first Christmas sermon. These messages of the angels were little mini sermons. Messages, declarations of good news. And that's the last verse there in 1 Peter. This good news, Peter writes, was the word that was preached to you. That's what we do when we preach. We declare good news. We herald good news. We declare the message from the King that comes from his word. Good news! I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. I was sent from the presence of God to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I can't wait to talk about that next week. For nothing will be impossible with God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Remember Psalm 130? We'll close there tonight. I mentioned it right away. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Gabriel could stand in the presence of God because of his holiness. You and I can't because of our iniquity and our sin. You want to hear what comes next? But with you, there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits as the watchman, more than the watchman for the morning, more than the watchman for the morning. In his word, I hope. Do you hear that? O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Go in that good news tonight. Amen.